Welcome back. This is Take Charge of Your Health with Corinne Fornari, clinical nutritionist and physician assistant, and my co-host, Carol Peterson, pharmacist. Every week, we present you with new and creative ways to help you make sense of health information and bring it home to you and your family. With years of clinical experience between us and research into traditional and cutting-edge technologies, we give you practical information to help you take charge of your health.
Corinne, you have to unmute yourself.
Back, welcome back. Thank you, Reggie. I'm here with my co-host.
Hello, hello, Carol Peterson.
Can you get closer to your speaker? You're very low. And I just want to go right off subject right now. I want to say I love Dr. Ali. He is an amazing man, an amazing healer, an amazing human being. We're so lucky to have him on WBAI. I was listening to the last show, and I'm just totally impressed. I hope you people realize what a jewel we have in Dr. Ali. If I were you, and I recommend that you get the premium that was offered, and they are DVDs of different health problems, and that's Alzheimer's, irritable bowel, and the third one I really didn't hear. But the number to call is 212-209-2877. Dr. Ali is a brilliant healer. And if you look and listen to those DVDs and follow the instructions, which often are very basic, you will be put in the direction of a true healer. So that's what I've got to say. So today our show, which we also know Carol and I are healers of a different sort, but definitely healers. We're not just technicians, we're healers. And today we're going to talk about three things. There were two tests that we didn't get to and I think are very important, and we'd like to share that with you. The next thing is we'd like to hear from you. And here, I gave you the call-in number, 212-209-2877. I gave you the call-in
number. Yeah, the call-in number for the program.
For the program.
Yeah.
Talk with us. And what we would like to talk with you about is two things. We'd like to talk with you about the subject that we are going over, which are two tests. We would like to talk with you about what you feel about BAI. How important is it to you? Does it matter whether it's on or off the air? This is a very important conversation to have, because with this conversation, we begin to understand the value of what we have. Carol and I talk about we stand on the shoulders of giants. People have gotten awards for their journalism. People who have been in the forefront of nutrition, they were first allowed on WBAI. And we stand here humbled by the quality of WBAI and by the quality of what WBAI offers. And then, so did we, and the third thing is we need buddies. We can't go on without buddies. We know you're a buddy. We know you understand, or we're going to find out you understand the value of WBAI and how this as a station keeps you in touch with your community and the power of that. Keeps you in some shows, in touch with your health, with an understanding of how to maintain your health. No other stations give you that. We're givers here on this station. All of us, each in our own different, unique way, we give what we have to give. So what we're asking you to do is be our buddy. And the number to call to be a buddy or to give a donation is 212-209-2950. And if you call to become a buddy, please give our name so that the station understands what the fact that you value the information that we share. And that would be wonderful. Carol and I would completely appreciate the support that you give us.
Absolutely. So we'd like you to call in today. We're going to be talking about testing again, but please call in. And when you do call in, let us know how you benefit from WBUNI programming.
Well, the dog benefits. He wanted to put in his two barks, so you understand. And so today, the number to call for to become a buddy is 212-209-2950, or get those phenomenal tapes or CDs or DVDs, DVDs by Dr. Ali, a real, real treasure. This man is exceptional. I can't say enough. So 212-209-2950. Become a tape charger of your health, buddy. We deserve it. And you deserve it also. You deserve the support that we give you. And it's more fun when we do it all together. So, Carol, last week for the last 2 weeks, we've been talking about testing. And then when we hung up and when it was all through, what happened? I remembered that there was two tests that we didn't get to. Both of them.
Oh, a lot more very, than that.
There's a lot more than that, but these are very predictive. They're predictive tests, and they follow, and it's very important because they follow your treatment. That you, with these tests, you can see whether you're responding or not to treatment. So one of them, I'm going to start with the first one, the collagen cross-link neopeptide is called NTX.
So you're using that in your practice, Cynthia?
Oh, yes, all the time. I use that in combination with bone-specific alkaline phosphatase. And what the NTX shows is a very specific collagen that is only found in the bone. And one reason why they don't really like to use this test is because it's got such a variable. And they never know how to evaluate it. But I very often use it the majority of time with postmenopausal women. And in postmenopausal women, they have a very even level and you have a predictive level. Women come in and say, oh, I've had a DEXA scan and I have osteopenia. Or osteoporosis. Most say I have osteopenia and they want to put me on drugs.
Right.
Are there any alternatives? So
not if you go to some doctors.
Pardon?
I said not if you go to some doctors, there's no alternative.
Exactly.
If you get a DEXA score minus 2.5, this, the World Health Organization has defined that as osteoporosis, a T-score, they call it. However, that T-score is highly variable. I was just reading an article, And it said that this number was put out there as a temporary number, that as they collected more data, they probably would change that number. Yet for 25 years, they haven't changed that number, 2.5 being osteoporosis, which is very interesting. The DEXA scans, I also learned that there's three major types of equipment, or three major brands of equipment. And they are highly different from each other in their results. If you change practitioner or something and they send you to somebody else and they use different equipment, you're going to get a different score. Although you may have not changed that much, your score will. So one of the caveats I see all the time is make sure you go to the same place for any DEXA scans if you want to continue to do that. And Corinne and I were discussing just before we meeting today, and I was asking her about dental x-rays. And so our conversation was inconclusive. I did find a study that a dentist who's looking for it, if you have a panoramic x-ray of your mouth, how your bone density looks on that x-ray is predictive of the health of the rest of your bones too. So I thought that was very interesting. Corinne?
So the reason why the NTX is a predictive test and also tells you how your bone is doing, let me give an example. If I take a DEXA scan, that's like taking a picture. Like I take a picture and out on the beach. Now, from that out on the beach, I make the assumption that you're always on the beach 24/7. But that isn't an adequate or accurate assumption. That's an assumption based on a fixed picture. And that's what a DEXA is, a fixed picture. But an NTX, which is cheap, and a bone-specific alkaline phos, those are cheap tests. And what happens is they measure a very specific collagen, collagen type 2, that is found only in the bones. And when it's very, very high in the bloodstream and or in the urine, it can be a urine test also, what we know is that the bone is breaking down faster than it's building up. So you can do two things with a very cheap bone-specific alkaline phosphatidyl and an NTX level. You could monitor whether the treatment that you're doing is working. So if I see a picture of a bone and it's quite weak, and then I do an NTX level and a bone-specific alkaline phos, and they are low, and then I do it again in 3 months and they are still low, what I'm being told is that your bone is not breaking down at this point. Your bone is at this point building. And that's an essential parameter because that will guide my treatment. It'll give me direction that I go to and can make assumptions and create better programs. So what happens is you don't have to wait a year to get another fixed picture, which is a DEXA scan. You're monitoring your treatment throughout the year. You're monitoring whether your supplements are being absorbed throughout the year. You're monitoring whether your exercise is working throughout the year and your lifestyle changes are working throughout the year. And it is a very powerful test to be used to create and direct that monitor.
There's another test I came across, but I don't know if it's in as much use as the NTX. It's called the CTX. And it monitors your bone rebuilding rather than your bone loss. And I wonder if it's used in combination sometimes. But the NTX, I think, is very popular because of those drugs. The bisphosphonate drugs stops a bone from breaking down. And you should get a favorable NTX, which will reinforce that the drugs are working. But this is a very limited view because it paralyzes your bone metabolism and you're not able to make new bone. And so it misses that piece. So what Corinne is talking about is how she uses it to monitor people who are not using drugs, who are in the process of wanting to rebuild their bones and actually your whole structure with healthy nutrition, with an eye on how you can improve the quality of your bones. It's a little bit different than looking at that a drug is paralyzing your bone remodeling. So not to hold this, and this is two different scenarios where they may be using the same test.
So that I felt this was very important to share with the audience in relationship, because this is not standardly used. And I found it so beneficial in my practice that it really gave me direction and emphasis. Now, when you're dealing with a menstruating woman, the NTX will be higher at the first half of the month when the hormones are very low than at the last half of the month when the hormones are very high and saturating the bone. So you have different ranges. This is why they're very uncomfortable with this test, because the ranges vary.
Yeah, so, that's very interesting. So in the second part of the cycle, progesterone is even particularly higher. And progesterone is a hormone that helps you grow new bone. And estrogen is a hormone that slows down the bone loss. The net result is that your bone is healthier, that you're remodeling, constantly making new bone and getting rid of old cells that aren't serving you so well. So this is hugely important. The question I get, which is dumbfounding to me, is how much progesterone do you need to use to ensure you have healthy bones?
That's a difficult one, because again, we're dealing with unique to the individual. And the only way that I use testing for hormones is as a baseline. But I also use testing for hormones to make sure they're not too elevated. So I work within the parameters of the patient telling me they feel well or they don't feel well, or this is happening or that is happening. But I really, now I have heard, but I can't, you know, Dr. John Lee, who was literally the founder of our understanding of the importance of progesterone, he said that at 20 milligrams, the bones would be protected. Now, I don't know if that's daily, and I don't know if that's accurate. I really have my doubts whether that's an accurate amount at this time.
There was another practitioner who had tried to duplicate his results, and I think that amount is way too small. Somebody who has actually studied this more in depth would be Dr. Jerry Lynn Pryor, working out of the University of British Columbia in Vancouver. She's worked with osteoporosis a long time, and her first cohort of women that she noticed had severe problems with osteoporosis were the least likely that you would expect. It would be high-performing athletes who are women. And what happens to them is they start losing their cycles, and they're not getting progesterone. The stress of training is too much. And then eventually they also start losing their estrogen. And so these women who should be at peak bone density and health in their 30s are actually osteoporotic. It's really amazing. In menopausal women, she likes to use oral progesterone. She uses a minimum of 300 milligrams a day.
Oh, interesting. Very interesting. Yeah. I wasn't aware of that. But I would think my first assumption, my first guess when I would see an athletic woman is that her bones are strong. That would be my first assumption.
It's just the opposite, because you think with all the exercise, one thing they always tell you is increase your exercise, your weight bearing bones need to have weights and stuff, do weights in the gym. But these were highly, highly athletic women and very poor bones.
So I also found that women who are intensively into dance, like some very weak bones, are very often women who are ballet dancers. You see that all the time, that they have arthritis and weak bones. It's really consistent within the industry. What happens is, and now we're getting back to birth control pills, it's harder to function in the outside world that takes push and drive, consistent, even push and drive, with the hormone fluctuations. And we know that when women are peaking, ovulating, they're more active, they can be more sexually aggressive. They also feel more connected with the world and more aggressive in their work and in their life. So in order to blunt that, very often that sensation of up and down and up and down, women take birth control pills. And when they take birth control pills, what happens is they're stopping the second part of the cycle that literally floods every tissue in your body with a high dose progesterone and a high dose estrogen. Your brain, your bones, your muscles. And when that happens, over time, the patient, the woman, is weakened. So we need your input on this. We need your input on what we're saying. We need your input on what you think of WBAI that allows a program like this that goes into such depth. If you were taking notes, you'd be getting master's degrees in many PhDs. Levels and PhDs of nutrients, nutrition, and hormones. We know that is true. That is not an exaggeration, because we and Carol teaches doctors about hormones and how to work with hormones in their practice. It's something very powerful. And then she comes here and I have to say to her, tone it down, Carol, tone it down. I'm texting her, tone it down. But what she's doing and what we're doing is sharing with you information that was new to many doctors. The doctors in the audience, it's new to them. And we're sharing it with you so you can share it with your doctor so you can enhance your health. So the number to call to support BAI, let's go there first, is 212-209-2950. I know, I'll bet big money, and I'm not a bettor. I wouldn't bet on anything.
But now you're going to do big money, okay.
We have lots of buddies out there. I hear from them all the time, and I would very much like you to support WBAI at any level that you can. $10 a month, $20 a month, $100 a month, whatever you can. But we know that you don't have to build the mountain yourself. Small amounts of money from lots of buddies, lots of friends, allows us to manage our budget, allows us to maintain WBAI in the quality that you deserve and that you want. If we're worried about money all the time, every minute of every day, it's really difficult to function. You know that. You know that in your home. You know that in your life. And so what we want to do is have freedom from that literal tyranny of worrying about money and having all our friends and all our partners join together and in small amounts support WBAI, become our buddy because we deserve it. Like I was just talking to someone, well, the program manager last week, and he was saying that regularly these big corporations want to buy BAI. This is a prime, primo location for a radio station in the center of the dial in the tri-state area, the most dense area in the nation. And here we are, BAI, giving out free information. That's pretty miraculous. The number to call, 212-209-2950. Show us that you're our buddy. We know you are already, but show us with your calls, show us with your donation at any level that you can. And also, we want to hear from you. We want to hear from you now. We want to hear from you in two ways. One, tell us about your situation with osteoporosis, or your family, or your mother's situation with osteoporosis, or what you've done to prevent it. Any way you want to look at it. The number to call is 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877. And I don't want
come
to confuse.
Join our conversation. So yes, I have a couple of
things. Go on.
So if you were to do a DEXA scan, there are some drugs, and top among them is cortisol derivatives like prednisone and triamcinolone actually make your bones appear more dense. So you could actually be developing osteoporosis, which would not be uncommon with long-term use of these drugs, but it doesn't show up on the DEXA scan. So that's another thing I think people should be aware of, and sometimes their doctors don't pay enough attention to it. There's exceptions and things you've got to watch out for. You should be prepared to take the test, know what you were doing and eating and taking on the particular day of the test, no matter what it is. So if you were doing an NTX test, remember that Corinne said the results for the NTX is different in the beginning part of a cycle than in the latter part of a cycle for menstruating women. So I find that really interesting. The other thing is bone density is considered a sign of bone health, and it doesn't necessarily have to be that. I was with my daughter, and we gave this guy a ride. He was a specialist in PT for sports figures, and he was explaining to me how your bones really need to be very flexible, and they are when you're young. And he took my daughter's arm, and he bent it. I was so no. That was usual because she was young. Bones, as you get older, do get less flexible, which is probably another reason why there is falling and breaking because of this loss of flexibility. But none of the
brittleness.
Tests, right, there's brittleness. So none of the tests we're talking about really test for that. And then I saw an interesting study. People get into nursing homes, and there's a lot of falls there. But are the falls because of the bones, yes or no? The trouble is a lot of people are in there because of their incontinence. Bladder incontinence is a big, big deal in a nursing home. And they give people drugs. The class of drugs are called anticholinergic, but they make you very dizzy, drowsy, dry mouth, the whole works. And it could be a drug reaction that fall occurs in the first place. So this one study was done with putting all the people in a particular home. They were wearing padded suits, and they still fell, and nothing broke. So this is a lot of intricacies here in this whole idea of healthy bones.
And so with the intricacies, what we what we have is a very adequate, not perfect, but very adequate way of watching and measuring in between the fixed picture of the DEXA scan. So we're going to ask you to call again, 212-209-2877. Give us a call. Tell us what you think. And if your doctor has ever ordered the NTX urine or serum, also let us know how you feel about WBAI. What do you think about BAI and what it means to you to have this program for 60 years plus, not this program, this station for 60 years plus, giving to the New York tri-state area audience. I think it's dynamic, amazing. And you are part of the experiment, and you are sharing it with us. So support it.
Corinne, how many years have you been broadcasting Take Charge of Your Health? I've only joined you for the last seven.
Seven, yeah. Well, I've been on WBAI for 23 years. I think for 22 years or 21 and a half, I've had Take Charge of Your Health. Before I was on WBAI on the news, and it was really fun. We really had a good time on the news. So,
we wanted to also cover another test that
yes.
is becoming more in the forefront. It hadn't been done so often. It's called the D-dimer test. Corinne, do you want to give some background on that test?
Yes, the D-dimer test is not commonly used. And where it became popular is when we had this phenomena just flooding the population of chronic fatigue. And people would get these very unique and definitely intense symptoms of brain fog. That was one. And also they had cold limbs, but particularly brain fog. And then we started saying, what's happening here? And we started to look at the D-dimer. The D-dimer is a test that measures circulation and coagulation levels. It is part of our coagulation series. And when it's elevated, it can be elevated directly and strictly in relationship to body inflammation. It can be elevated with thyroid problems even before the thyroid shows that there is an irregularity on the blood test. It can be elevated with osteoarthritis.
And osteoporosis.
And osteoporosis. It can be elevated with arthritis, lupus. Many of the inflammatory autoimmune diseases can elevate a D-dimer. And it also can be elevated in chronic Lyme. And guess what? We're now finding it elevated in chronic COVID. Carol?
Yeah, I think this has been published. So the D-dimer is a little peptide, and the peptide is present when the body is breaking down a coagulation. So it's increasing where microcoagulations occur. And this makes it difficult for a clinical presentation because virtually all the little capillaries in your body are at risk of being starved of the circulation. When you get down to the tiniest capillaries, only one tiny red blood cell can get through there, and it has to squeeze. And if coagulation occurs, meaning the red blood cells aren't, they don't have a negative force between them, they're actually attracted to each other and joined together, you can't get circulation into those tiniest capillaries in your body. So this is the end of our circulatory system. And by having these things occur means that our whole body is affected in different ways. So an organ system like your nerves might be affected, and you're looking for reasons for it. But the same process is going on throughout your body, and your whole body is at risk. When D-dimer is high, the treatment has been, which has worked out pretty well, are proteolytic enzymes. The proteolytic enzymes are also helping you break down or even prevent clotting. If you were to be taken into the hospital with a stroke, when you're in the ambulance, they give you a proteolytic enzyme IV right away to break down that coagulation. But you can use these enzymes as a way to bring down the D-dimer, to decrease the amount of microcoagulation you have. And it's also, because of its powerful anti-inflammatory effects, it's considered maybe a good idea to use long-term, because some people describe aging as inflammaging. It's just a series of inflammatory reactions, and our structure and function suffer over time as we're aging because of inflammation. So there's some interesting theories about this. So the enzymes that have been used, nattokinase has been used the most. It comes from a fermented soy. Lumbrokinase is even stronger, and this comes from earthworms, interesting enough. And then
streptokinase.
Is one that comes from silkworms. All three of these have a good effect. And if you should happen to be tested for D-dimer and want to correct that, this would be a treatment you could use. Another thing you might want to do is ask for that test. It's not particularly expensive. And if you're struggling, Corinne gave a long list of people with chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia and other long-term, not-so-healthy conditions. That may be occurring with you, or long COVID is another. That can be happening kind of silently for you. And if you're not looking for the right test to check it. Now, as Corinne said, it hadn't been used so often. It's used more now. But if you don't test for it, you miss that information that this is indeed something happening to you. So you could ask your practitioner to add a D-dimer when you go in for testing. It is a blood test. We have a caller holding, Corinne.
Terrific. So, hi, you're live.
Hi.
Your name and your question, please.
My name is Leanne.
Hi, Leanne.
I have had a muscular sclerosis, and after that immediately was diagnosed with severe osteoporosis. having related to the steroids that I'd been taking. After that, I now have am going to have all my upper teeth extracted before I go on a new round of folia. I have had taken in the past for the MS and the osteoporosis Fosamax, and I had had cancer of stage one before anything. I was originally a dietitian, and I think I got it during school. I was just working too hard to graduate at the age of 40, and 50 by the time I graduated. But anyway, I really have questions for you. Everything that you say applies to me.
That's really wonderful.
How you characterize it. And actually, for the listeners, you mentioned Prolia, and that's N-Fosamax. Those are the names of two drugs that fall into the bisphosphonate family, and they stop your bone from breaking down.
Yeah.
And they also, consequently, your bone can't build up either. So what happens is your bones get weaker because you're not cleansing your bones and building new bone. And that's why you have to be very careful, and you have to let your dental practitioner know that you're on this, because sometimes very large cavities.
Gotten together now. They're, before this takes place next week, it was put off from today till next week. And I finally got the two of them to fax each other.
Yes. Yeah, that's essential, because they have to support each other, because there has to be some form of following or and guidance given to you when you have these procedures. But I also want to say that although, you know, we can't be specific, you know, we don't have a whole picture, we don't have blood tests in front of us, we can't be specific. But what I can say, and what I would recommend and begin with, and Carol can add to this, I would go with a very good dose of vitamin C. Essential for your cells, essential for your ability to heal. Sometimes, you know, bone weakness is directly related to vitamin C deficiency.
Let's tie it up in collagen. Your bone has
exactly
collagen.
And the ability to uptake collagen is based on vitamin C. But we're getting close to the end. And what I would, and I would like to finish, because vitamin D and vitamin K are essential for you for right now. Absolutely essential, because they help with bone and they help with your immunity. And then there was one other, and so adequate amounts of D and large amounts of vitamin K. And then the next thing that I would do is I would use curcumin and boswellia. We need to get your inflammation down. We need to get your inflammation down, and I do believe you have pain. And those work with pain and inflammation. And I would work with those two herbs. They are not contraindicated with almost anything. As a matter of fact, they're given to cancer patients. They're given to patients with autoimmune disease and can be very beneficial. And I'm going to ask, right before Carol's answering, I'm going to ask the audience, please, please call in and become our buddy. The number to call is 212-209-2950. Support our ability to share information with you. The number to call, 212-209-2950. Become a buddy. You already are. You know it. So, Carol, what would you add to that protocol?
Well, I would like to reinforce the vitamin D. There is evidence that associates MS with low vitamin D, so that should be an essential part of what you're doing. If you haven't explored low-dose naltrexone for MS, something to look at has proved very beneficial for a number of people. And we had a program on it with the LDN research group. Linda, I'm trying to remember her last name, spoke with us in detail. So that was great. That's another opportunity. And then I'm going to go back to my hormones. Your bones need estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, DHEA to grow and remodel correctly. So I would also recommend a full hormone panel and supplement accordingly so you can make good bone.
I can't imagine that a panel won't come back with close to nothing in all the hormones, but so it's very important. The hormones will be very beneficial to you. And I want to support the what Carol said, LDN. LDN can be very supportive of all autoimmune diseases and can bring down inflammation. I also want to talk about adequate sleep, because adequate sleep is a healer. And when you do and have adequate sleep, it will benefit you. So I love melatonin before bed. And they have 1 milligram, 5 milligram, 10 milligram. I would start with the 5, see how you feel, and then just keep going up. If you want a 20 milligram, go right ahead. If you can go up to a 40 milligram, go right ahead. Because your body needs the melatonin, which is also a healer and doesn't overstimulate your immune system to get you reactive. So you got a program, my dear. Hello? Well, I hope you
heard. She may have dropped off so she can listen.
I hope she heard this, because this is, she can also go back to the archives, because this was very important to her, her health, and her direction of her health. And even, you know, what happens with everybody, with healers, with non-healers, when they're not well, you can give advice to other people, but it becomes very hard to do it on your own without adequate direction, without adequate focus. It becomes very hard to understand, well, now what do I do? Now what do I do? And it's wonderful to have a coach and direct you. And I see many healers, like she spent from her 40s to her 50s, studying and learning to become a healer. And I see many healers that have difficulty in healing themselves. I, for one, am an example of that. I see Carol. Carol's pretty powerful in taking care of herself.
Well, you've got to be in cohesiveness with what you're talking about. So I used to be very, very picky about that, but I changed my mind. I will allow people to be on their path rather than be the absolute perfection of what they're saying. It's very difficult. And but it makes a difference. It makes a difference when you go into a doctor and they are overweight, poor skin, losing their hair, male or female, Is this the person you should get health advice from?
Are they healers?
Are they healers? Yeah, it makes me wonder.
Who was it that said, a very famous healer said, go to the healers that have healed them. Oh, a very famous Dr. Ali.
Ali. Yeah. Back to the behavior program.
Go to the healers that understand how to heal themselves. Yeah. And that just rang in my ears because it's just like a beautiful xylophone ringing the correct tone. Because that's very true. Go to the healers that know how to heal themselves or work on healing themselves with consistency. You know, we always wait. We've just got a couple, actually, we've got about two more minutes, but I'm going to make this statement. We always wait for inspiration. Let's get inspired to move forward. I'm going to wait for the inspiration to move forward. But you know what? We don't need inspiration. We need motivation. We need habit. We need repetition. You wait for inspiration, you might wait forever. Just do it and do it with repetitiveness and you will succeed. Even without inspiration, there will be success.
Well, that was inspirational.
So what else is inspirational for us, for WBAI, is if you call in 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. Give WBAI a call. Let us know through your action, not through your words and thoughts, not through thoughts and prayers, no. Let us know through action how you support WBAI and what BAI means to you. Become our buddy. You already are. You are. That's why you're listening. I have people that I had a woman that said, BAI, this program is her health university. That's what she wrote to me. Oh my goodness, I was floored. I was so happy. She got it. She understood it. She understood what we were trying to give. So Carol, thank you so much, because just like the audience, I always learn when we're together.
Me too, every single time.
Every single time. Next week we have a guest and it's going to be a great show. Please listen. You're going to be quite impressed. So we'll be back next week. Thank you, Reggie. Thank you for helping us all the time. And we'll be back next week. Bye, Carol.
Bye, Corinne.
So we'll be back next week. Thank you again. Bye-bye.
Bye.
In conclusion, I'd like to say, remember, this information is not an attempt to diagnose or a substitute for treatment. As always, we urge you to take this and all other information we share with you up with your healthcare practitioner. Clearly, this comes under the category of taking charge of your health. Thank you so much for spending this time with us, and we'll be back next week. Bye-bye. Thank you.